It's just 12 o'clock noon, and you are tuned to CFRO, Vancouver's Cooperative Radio, 102.7 FM, and around the world on cooperadio.org. And it's time now for Animal Voices, and hang on to your hats. Here come the animals.
Welcome to Animal Voices. Well, 14 years ago, Howard Lyman came to Vancouver as a guest of Earth Save Canada, and he said, "No animal has to die for me to live." And today, Howard Lyman is in the studio here today with us because of the Earth Save celebration, Taste of Health. Request everybody can go to the webpage for Taste of Health. It's go to earthsave.ca. And it's going to be a wonderful gala performance of Howard this evening, Friday the 26th, at the Croatian Cultural Center. Well, in the studio today, we have Alan Jensen. Thank you for being our technician. And also, we have Kim Reed. Well, Kim Reed, thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Sorry.
Well, so what I've done was and Howard said it's okay. I've taken about 15 items from the newspapers in the last 2 days, and I'll ask Howard these questions. Howard was a cattle rancher, and the best person to introduce himself is, of course, Howard himself. He's the author of the book The Mad Cowboy and the book No More Bull. So let's hear it. Hear the plain truth from the cattle rancher who won't eat meat. That's Howard Lyman. Thanks for being here for us.
Carlos, it's an absolute joy to be back here in the center of the universe, Vancouver. And, you know, the only thing that is wrong with Vancouver is that it isn't close enough to where my house is. So it's a wonderful place to live, and the only thing better than Vancouver is the people that live in it.
Oh, thank you, Howard. And, you know, I often believe that many people were instrumental in making Earth Save what it is today, and there's a 3-day festival that's happening at the Croatian Cultural Center. And you know, when you came to Vancouver, there were about 50 members, and we were so honored that you came there and you spoke with such enthusiasm about genetically modified foods. And then 14, 15 years later, Earth Save has some 600 members, and it's putting on a 3-day festival of food. So, you know, I think always think that you have been such a wonderful contributor to Earth Save and an inspiration for us all. And, you know, I congratulate you on your 70th birthday, which was last week.
Well, I appreciate the congratulations, but I think the thing we have to look at is, why is it that Earth Save Canada grew? You know, we ended up with things like, you know, genetically engineered, modified products that are out there. We end up with global warming, you know, the things, mad cow disease. I think we need to lay the credit at the foot of the industry that's out there that is trying to destroy this world. And here we have right now, we have a number of people in Earth Save Canada that are out there and saying, it's not going to happen on my watch. And I've got to give these people a lot of credit, because they persevered under some of the worst circumstances in the world. But the fact of it is, they're making a difference. Ask yourself this question. When's the last time you walked down the street and somebody came up to you and said, "You know, Carl, I'm really eating a lot more red meat." You never hear that. So EarthSave Canada has done yeoman's work in making sure there's a future for our children and grandchildren.
Right. So Howard, that leads us to why you were once on the show here and you said, well, already a large percentage of the people on planet Earth are already vegetarian. But, you know, when we look at the statistics of what's happening here in North America, it doesn't seem so. And why would you say maybe that's not quite happening here?
Well, I think it really is happening here. If you look at the fact that the majority of people on planet Earth today are eating a plant-based diet, there's no doubt about it. When you look at the billions of people that are in China and India, most people do not realize it, but the fact of it is there are more people on the planet not eating meat than those that are. But if we look at Canada and the United States, for example, I do a lot of traveling. 10 years ago, I would get on an airplane. The service person would come up to you and say, what kind of a meal have you ordered? And you basically say, I ordered a vegan meal. They would jump back like you had a communicable disease. They had no idea in the world what it was. You know, and look at the how much we've come that direction. Today you get on an airplane, they don't even feed you anymore. So, I mean, we've come a long way. But you never walk into even a truck stop anymore and talk to a service person that they don't know what a vegetarian meal or a vegan meal is. 10 years ago, that was not true. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that I firmly believe in my lifetime the majority of people in North America will be eating a plant-based diet.
Now, you talk about the plant-based diet, but why do you think this change is happening, and are we reaching critical mass?
Well, when you stop and look at it, one out of every two North Americans today are dying of heart disease. Main contributing cause of heart disease, saturated fat and cholesterol. All cholesterol comes from animal products, 100%. There's no such thing as carrot cholesterol, cabbage cholesterol. You can't even mail order kale cholesterol. Where the majority of saturated fat is coming from animal products. We have today, North America, one out of every three North Americans having cancer, one out of four dying of cancer. We end up right now with 60% of North Americans either overweight or obese. Diabetes is growing astronomically. When we look at the main health causes, heart disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes, every one of them has a direct relationship to animal protein. So it may be a tough sell. It may be a hard time getting the older diehards off of their meat-based diet. But I'll tell you what, you go into the schools know today, the school kids, they know the difference between a meat-based diet and a plant-based diet, and the overwhelming majority of the younger people are going more and more towards a plant-based diet.
Now, which brings me to the first newspaper cutting, and that was in the papers in the last 2 days, and one headline says, Silver Screen Stars Shilled for Big Tobacco. And it's mentioned here that stars like Al Johnson, Bob Hope, Clark Gable, and of course that these people were, and John Wayne, that were paid something like millions of dollars to sponsor tobacco. So there's two questions here. One of them is that, is the same thing happening right now? Because I always hear these not so subliminal messages when there's a weather forecast and it says, don't forget to, it's barbecue weather today, and then don't forget to light up the barbecue. But when they say after barbecue, they say, that I become very suspicious. Do you think, in fact, that this same type of the industry is so big, the Cattle Growers Association, the dairy industry, that they're doing much the same as what Big Tobacco did to Hollywood 50 years ago?
not only what tobacco did in Hollywood 50 years ago, but what they're doing today. They actually pay the stars today, even if they don't smoke on screen, to carry or have their brand of tobacco laying around so people associate the star with what they're selling. That is happening today. The same thing is happening out there, is they want to associate good things with their product. Now, did you ever see them say, you know, well, we're in for torrential rains today, and so you better light up the barbecue in the garage? No, you never want to do that. You only want it when the sun is out and when things are going, and then you say, well, after this is over, I'm going home today and light up the barbecue, and boy, is that going to be good.
Now we know from John Wayne, who died of colon cancer. So when he died, what really statistics did they show at the autopsy?
Well, the thing that happened at John Wayne's autopsy, and remember, this was the Duke, the manly man that was ever out there, the big meat eater. But then they ended up with the autopsy, and remember, he died of colon cancer. They opened him up, and they found a large hunk of dying, rotting flesh in his colon. I guarantee you that John Wayne did not ride into the sunset one happy camper.
Well, so it takes quite a long time for this meat to go through the colon and get stuck somewhere?
Oh, sure.
So it coated his colon?
Well, look at it. You know, the true carnivores. The ones, if you want to know what a true carnivore is, it's one that has claws for ripping and tearing and has teeth. If you think you're a true carnivore, jump on the back of a cow, put in your claws, take a bite out of the rump. If you can do that, you're a true carnivore. What has happened when a true carnivore eats? They eat a large amount of meat. Their digestive juices are very acidic. The animal eats, goes and lays down. They want to break it down, get it in, get it out. Very short digestive system. You never find a true carnivore that has a system like us that has an intestine that goes back and forth and back and forth. They want to get it in, get it out. What do? We put it in, goes into our digestive system, and it is there for a long time. And then it ends up starting to ripen and rotten and putrefy. And what do we have? The growing case of colon and rectal cancer today that is directly related to what people are eating. And I'm telling you, the standard Canadian diet right now is not one that you want to look at it and buy your health insurance on, because you're in for trouble.
So now, we also had a lot of headlines in the paper recently about the tainted milk products from China. So one of the headlines which we have right here, 53,000 babies ill in milk scandal. And then after there was a tremendous uproar about melamine and you show people taking it off their shelves in Hong Kong, and some of it even went to Starbucks in some of the countries. And then yesterday, it seemed as if everything should come right, because the headline said, tainted milk problem now under control. Do you believe that is correct?
Well, when they say something like that, does that mean that the fix is in? Did the right person get paid? That's what you want to ask yourself. Let's stop and look at the entire issue before we get too excited about this. Remember that the overwhelming majority of Asians are lactose intolerant. There is no dairy industry to speak of in China. Did you ever ask yourself, why in the world is China one of the big exporters of cheese, but they don't have a dairy industry to produce the dairy products? Ask yourself the question. When we ended up with Chernobyl, and we ended up with all of the radiation that covered hundreds and thousands of acres, a lot of that was covering areas where they had cows that were producing milk. Well, nobody in Eastern Europe is going to touch anything that comes from the Chernobyl area with a 10-foot pole. Where do you think it's being exported to? China.
Sure.
China. And what is China doing? They're not feeding it to Chinese because they're lactose intolerant. They end up and send it here to North America, and here we are eating our way all through the garbage that's out there. So we ought to ask ourselves a question. Who produced my food? Where did it come from? What's it doing to me, the environment, and the animals? And if you can't answer those questions, don't buy it. Go down to the local farmer's market. Look the guy in the eye. Ask him how he's growing your food. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do is support somebody that's growing the food right here in British Columbia that you know what kind of care that is being taken on that. The idea of going to China or Mexico just because it's cheaper, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have my mother-in-law come and spend a month with me than buy those products.
You know, I heard an interesting tidbit today, Carl and Howard, that Ben and Jerry's ice cream has been contacted to see if they'll switch over from using cow-based milk to breast milk. Of all things, I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's going, you know.
Well, you know, we have to look back at the fact, you know, there are some real redeeming features with mm-hmm. breast milk. I mean, it comes in such a nice container. So I can see where they were thinking about it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's interesting, though, that people are ready to go to those kinds of extremes. They want different options, and they're looking for different ways of getting out of cow-based milk products.
Well, sure. You know, the biggest problem we have right now is common sense. We have people out there that have been had their heads batted around for years, you know, about, you know, the real good stuff is what comes from the manufacturer that's out there. But the fact of it is, look at the study that was done in Cornell University. When they took Cornell University study, 87% of the protein in dairy products is casein. When they fed casein to rats at a level of 20%, they died. Should not happen. You know, they went back and they bought another bunch of rats and they did it again. And lo and behold, they died again. So they bought another bunch and they took them back and they put a third of them on a 20% diet and they all died. They put a third of them on a 15% diet. Two-thirds of them died. And they put the other third on a 20% plant-based protein diet. And not only did they live, but they thrived. We need to look at the fact of that study that when you put casein in association with cancer cells, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. Mm-hmm. And what do we have in North America? One out of every three Americans with North Americans having cancer, one out of four dying of it. It's about time we wake up and smell the roses.
Absolutely.
Howard, before the show, I showed you a McDonald's flyer, a McDonald's placemat, but I can't find it right now. But while we try and find that, I'd like to actually tell people about, oh, we got it right there. But you know, we're offering some free tickets for people who phone in, and I'm going to be giving this number. There's the gala showing tonight at which you will be speaking. And your speech will be quite different from what people are hearing today. So if you liked what you're hearing today, you would definitely want to go to Taste of Health this evening.
How do you know it's going to be different? You know, if you don't show up, you won't know whether it's different.
Well, it's going to be the same, in the same exciting vein and informative information that everybody needs to hear.
I do have more than 1 hour's worth of information, so I would highly recommend that people
show up. You were a lobbyist in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. I learned a thing that was called the Golden Rule. Them that got the gold make the rules.
Well, you know about this evening at Taste of Health. It's at the Croatian Cultural Center between 6 and 9 p.m. There's going to be the Taste of Health, but then there's also going to be the gala event. tonight at 6 o'clock, between 6 and 9, and at which Howard will be speaking. There will be other people, will be food demonstrations and all kinds of stuff. But the gala event costs $15. So we're going to ask our Animal Voices listeners, if you phone this number and leave your number there, then we will contact you when we get home, like 3 o'clock, and confirm that you have complimentary tickets. Each person that phones will be getting two $15 complimentary tickets for the gala performance tonight at Taste of Health. And this is the number to call, 604-924-4966. So leave a short message and your phone number, and we'll phone you back if you've won a free ticket to this, or free tickets to this gala event with at the Taste of Health at the Croatian Cultural Center, which is going on for all of 3 days. But tonight, it's a very special night because Howard is only going to be there for 1 day, and that's tonight. Well, Howard, thank you for finding this flyer from the placemat from McDonald's. So maybe you can comment on some of the items there. Calcium, and it shows milk being poured into a jug.
Isn't that interesting? They have a placemat, and they're talking about calcium. Do you ever ask yourself, where do the largest animals on the planet get their calcium? Do they line up at McDonald's and get a snort of milk? You know, well, how about a rhino? We're talking about an elephant, a cow, an elk. They don't get their calcium from milk. The studies out there clearly show that you will get more calcium for your body, more usable calcium that is coming in the form of green leafy vegetables than what you would ever get from cows. You know, they went and did a study. In this study, they ended up with people that were on a high-protein diet. And they measured the amount of calcium going into the body out of dairy products. And then they captured the feces and urine and tested that, and they found there was more calcium coming out of the body than what was going in. If you're concerned, like most of us are, about osteoporosis, you should know that the worst thing in the world to increase osteoporosis is a high-protein diet. You want to deal with it? Put some more spinach, kale, lettuce in your diet. That's what you do to get your calcium, not going to a dairy product.
Now, wasn't there a major study many years ago that showed that the countries with the highest dairy consumption also had the highest rates of osteoporosis?
Oh, absolutely. The data is out there. It isn't what we know. It's what we know we think we know. And the fact of it is we should be actually looking at the real world. And if you want to have an increase in your health, and look at the fact of what happened in my health, here I was with the fact where I weighed over 300 pounds. My blood pressure was sky high. My cholesterol was over 300. I'd sit down and have lunch, and my nose would bleed. Well, you know, I was one of the first 300-pound football players in North America, you know. And when I quit playing football, I kept eating the same way. And I knew that I wasn't going to live very long if I didn't change my diet. Now, I came from Montana. Montana is not the hotbed of vegetarianism. I only knew one vegetarian in my life, and her name was Atlantis. Shows you how far out that was. Well, I was afraid that I'd rather be caught riding a stolen horse than admitting that I was thinking about becoming a vegetarian. So I became a closet vegetarian. I didn't tell anybody about it. I lost some weight. My blood pressure went down. My cholesterol went down. And I thought, wow, if I can do that being the world's worst vegetarian, just think what I could do if I became vegan, and I could spell vegan. I became a vegan. I lost 130 pounds. My blood pressure went from sky high to normal. My cholesterol from 300 to 135. Not one person in the longest ongoing heart study in the world, the Framingham study, over 45 years it's been going, not one person had a heart attack that had a cholesterol reading below 150. How do you get it below 150? Don't stuff it down your throat. And all cholesterol comes from animal products.
Now, I'm glad you can spell vegan. It's a tricky word.
I claim I can.
But you know what? Each time I type that word into my my computer, it says error.
Well, that's because...
So Bill Gates needs to learn something, I think.
It means the people that built your computer were carnivores. You don't have to worry about them. They've all died by now. They have a new generation coming along.
Well, you know, on this placemat from McDonald's, so you spoke about the calcium, and but also you briefly mentioned the protein. And you know, most coffee shops, they have soya beverage. They have soya lattes. One doesn't have to be beholden to the 58 different cow hormones that's in dairy, you know. And so, but the question is we're showing a picture of energy for healthy play, and of course that the protein, and the protein is looks like a deep fried chicken breast.
Well, you not only do you get your protein, but you get your fat. In other words, not only can you get sick of a heart attack, you can end up to be obese, so that you will end up being a much sicker patient. Look at the issue of protein, the biggest lie in the world. It's not about where do I get my protein. The fact of it is, how do I keep from getting too much protein? Carl, if I did nothing but give you a bowl of brown rice every day for the rest of your life, you would get twice as much protein as what you need. The greatest growth in a human body comes when they're nursing their mother. Mother's breast milk, less than 4.5% protein. A bowl of brown rice, 8 or 9% protein. You get twice as much as you need. People in North America today should be getting around 5% of their calories coming from protein. Most people in North America are getting 30%. Don't ask yourself, where do I get my protein? Ask yourself, how do I keep from getting too much protein?
Right. Well said. Well, we're talking with Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy, madcowboy.com. And so he'll be speaking at the wonderful festival of health at the Croatian Cultural Center happening this weekend. And it's by courtesy of Earth Save Canada. So go to earthsave.ca or Taste of Health. I think, earthsave.ca will get you to a icon for the Taste of Health, earthsave.ca. And Howard Lyman, it truly is a festival. It's the 10th Taste of Health Festival that EarthSave is putting it on. So it includes exhibits, workshops, presentations, veggie food court, cooking demonstrations, and all designed to showcase plant-based foods. Well, and Mr. Plant-Based Foods himself is saying it so well here on Animal Voices. Many of our programs, including this one, will be posted on our webpage, animalvoices.org. And also, you are listening to your community-based and community-sponsored radio station, 102.7 FM in Vancouver. And what a wonderful station, and what a wonderful way to speak out for marginalized communities. So anyway, Howard, we've already reached the halfway mark of the program. But, because you've been so involved, you were involved with, you were on the Oprah show, and there was a court case where you tested the food disparagement laws, where there was a law that said you were not allowed to say anything bad about food in 13 states, and you and Oprah Winfrey managed to nix it.
Well, let's stop and think about it. They were worried that there would be a lot of good information reach the public ears if we started talking about where food comes from. Oprah decided to do a show that was called Dangerous Food. Could it happen here? Now, I was one of the first people in North America that was talking about mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. She asked me if I would go on the show. I did. And I told Oprah on the show that we had over 100,000 cows a year that were fine at night, dead in the morning. We would round them up, grind them up, turn them into feed, and feed them back to other cows. Oprah was horrified. I not only told her that, I told her that we were collecting roadkill, deer, elk, possum, raccoons, grinding them up and feeding them to cows. And then the one I thought would really get her attention is that we were taking euthanized pets, dogs and cats. The city of Los Angeles alone, 200 tons of dogs and cats a month that have been killed with chemicals that were not broken down in the rendering process, were ground up and fed back to our pets or our food animals. Now, Oprah was horrified. She looked at the guy from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association who was on the show, and she looked him in the eye and said, "Dr. Weber, are we feeding cows to cows?" I'll never forget what he had to say. He said, "Well, you know, then, a limited amount of that going on." Well, as far as I can tell, about 95% of the cattle in factory feedlots are eating the remains of other animals. Well, next thing out of Oprah's mouth, got us sued. She said, "That just stops me cold. I will never again eat a burger." Well, for that comment, Oprah, Harpo Production, and I were sued by a group of Texas cattlemen. 6 years we were in court. We won in Amarillo, Texas, not the end of the world, but clearly visible from there. When we won there, they appealed it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and believe it or not, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said everything that Lyman said on the show was true, and the truth is not actionable. They sued us four more times after that. 6 years we were in court, and finally the judge threw out the case with prejudice, which meant it could not be refiled. But, you know, the cattlemen, you got to give them credit. They didn't give up. They went back to the United States Congress, and under the Patriot Act, they inserted a thing that was called Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act. If I was to do the same thing on the Oprah Show today, tell the truth, I would be guilty, because they changed the law, so now it means that if you tell the truth and you cause economic damage to the industry, you're guilty. Well, I think we need to stand up, tell people the truth. We need to make better decisions. We need to realize we're talking about the health of the planet, the health of the animals, and the future of our children and grandchildren. And for that, we cannot roll over. We cannot play dead. If you come tonight to the event that's there, I will tell you how you can add 7 to 9 years more good, healthy years to your life. Wouldn't it be a good investment to spend a few hours coming and find out how you can live a number of years longer and healthier? You come. I'll guarantee it.
Thank you. Howard, you know, and you've requested a song. It's called by your friend, Dana Lyons. And it's called, maybe you can just say a few words about your good friend, Dana Lyons, who also lives in Washington State. He's very close to us.
I'll tell you, Dana Lyons is probably one of the biggest hearts in the world, a wonderful guy. Takes his music out, and he shares it with a lot of young people about changing their attitude on the way they eat and what happens to the environment. Dana Lyons did the song we're going to hear next, Cows with Guns. Believe it or not, it was the best selling record in Australia. Those Aussies down there, they know how to have a good time. And when they found this record, they found it was not only a good time, but it educated them. Take a listen to it. I think it is phenomenal.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die. Die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Kausei Tung. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cowdoll drums. He mooed, "We must fight, escape or we'll die." Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free the buffalo or dog. Oh, oh. Cows with guns.
That was Howard Lyman's friend Dana Lyons and also our friend singing Cows with Guns. What a wonderful CD with many environmental songs on there. Well, tonight Howard Lyman will be speaking at the Taste of Health at the Vancouver, at the Croatian Cultural Center on Commercial Drive. So there's lots more to come. We have so many questions here that... Howard, you have been watching some of the elections doings in the United States. You live in Ellensburg, Washington State.
Oh, I'll tell you, we have the grandest circus going on down there you ever saw. We ended up today with the largest bank bankruptcy or failure in history. WaMu went under. It was the largest bank not only in Washington, but the largest one ever going down. And, you know, they're fiddling when Rome is burning. They're out there playing politics out of it. Should we go and save the industry? Of course we ought to do that. You know, if we don't, then what's going to happen? It's going to come down to the car dealerships. It's going to come down to the main street where there will be no credit. There needs to be something done about it. But right now they're posturing. We ended up with John McCain, and basically said he was going to shut down his campaign until we solved this issue. Now, he never said that when he was leading in the polls, but when he ended up down double digits, all of a sudden he decided he needed to do something different. He went and picked a vice presidential candidate that has the least qualifications of anyone we've ever had, and that's saying a lot when you remember back when we had Dan Quayle.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, we have...
Spiro Agnew.
We have one of the grandest circuses that's ever happened that's down there. But, you know, we have an extraordinary opportunity. We have one candidate that has been the free marketer, voted for every operation, every opportunity to deregulate the markets that are out there that right now are in billions of dollars in the hole. And we have the other one that's talking about being energy self-sufficient, producing all good, clean electrical energy within 10 years. So there's a tremendous opportunity that we can see the difference. But you have to remember, we have one of the candidates that is a black man. Don't kid yourself. There's a lot of bigoted U.S. citizens that are out there. We're going to find out whether they are bigoted enough to elect somebody that's unqualified, the oldest candidate we've ever had with a vice president with the least qualifications. Are we going to swallow hard and go out and deal with the environment? Or are we going to put the country back on the right track? I think it is probably the most defining election that has ever been held in my lifetime. I can't hardly wait to see whether we're going to end up with both candidates that are showing up in Mississippi tonight for the first debate. One of them says, Obama said, I'll be there. McCain said, well, I'm not going to be there unless we solve this problem. Well, he was part of the problem to start with. Let's see whether he can show up and explain it tonight.
Now, in the National Post, September the 23rd, that's last week, there was a headline that said, in the U.S., the monkeys guard the bananas. So, and of course, it was a quip on the meltdown of the banks, as you just mentioned.
Well, I think that was a derogatory thing to say about the monkeys.
Yeah, it's true. Totally. And George Bush, he said something very profound on TV, and he was actually looking very serious and quite pale. And I always thought he'd lost some weight. And he said, this was yesterday, he said, panic now. This was a cartoon that appeared in the UK, and it showed a picture of George Bush before the microphone in the White House gardens, and the cartoon underneath it said, panic now before it is too late.
Well, ask yourself the question, you know, the man's been there almost 8 years. He took over the economy from Bill Clinton at the time that we had no debt. And here we are, trillions of dollars in the hole. We have company after company on Wall Street going belly up. Now, who's he going to blame this on? Maybe Cheney? I think if I was George Bush, I would just hope that I could get out of office and I could hide and people would forget about me as soon as possible, because he's been at the tiller of the ship that is running aground, and now it's time for him to take credit for being the most lousy captain of the ship that I can remember.
Yes, that's true. Now, of course, we don't know whether both McCain and Obama will be at the debates tonight. It's an open question. But one commentator said that he thought that the debate between the potential vice presidents would be more interesting. And this was a little quote that I made up. I made this one up, okay? It's my vision of Nancy Pelosi while flying her helicopter, shoots grizzlies and wolves from the air, and she was looking west, and she could see Red Square over on the horizon.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting when they were talking about Sarah Palin's foreign policy experience, and they said, well, of course she has it. Her country, her state is the closest to Russia. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I've actually set foot in Africa. Does that give me a foreign policy experience?
Right. Well, anyway, Kim, you have a question here. We would like to sort of cover a bit of the environment here, and that we're seeing so much climate change everywhere, in Africa particularly. Rains are failing, floods everywhere. Even my beloved Cape Town, they had in the Sea Point, they had so much foam there. It was the cars, you only saw the rooftop of the cars. It was totally unheard of. And the foam was about the waves were breaking against the rocks and causing this foam. So there's climate change happening everywhere. And of course, food prices are skyrocketing, and the worst countries to be affected are many African countries where starvation is rampant, particularly in Ethiopia.
Well, let's stop and look at the fact, you know, we have farmers today that are taking their crops that were intended to be eaten by people, and they're turning them into fuel because of the price of gasoline that's out there. We have things totally out of control, but you should look at it and you should thank our lucky stars. The only thing that ever changes human behavior is crisis. We need to thank the Lord that we have crisis. And whether we're talking about global warming or we're talking about the price of fuel or the price of food, I feel sorry for the people that are going hungry, because we have people that are more interested in cashing in on taking food crops and turning them into fuel. Our first responsibility as a citizen of the world is see that everybody has enough to eat for them and their family. And until we do that, we're going to continue to be involved in wars that are out there, because folks are not going to watch their children die of hunger when we end up with people like the United States of America that are more interested in corporate greed than they are feeding the needy.
Howard, there was a National Post article posted on September the 24th, and it's talking about the biotech steps out of the lab. Bioenergy is hot agriculture, it says, and has a push on to develop crops with more nutrients and resistant to drought, flooding, and insects. What can you comment about that?
Well, let's stop and look at it. You know, the one thing that we have in our environment is we have millions of years of the insects and the plants all learning to live in the same environment. Mm-hmm. Now we have doctors in white coats in laboratories setting themselves up basically as God and deciding who's going to live and who's going to die. But when we look at it, you know, nature already did this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But it was before we ended up with a thing that was called monoculture. Plants that were growing in the relationship with other plants provided the protection they needed. But we thought we knew better, so we went out and we put hundreds of thousands of acres of the same crop in, row upon row, and all of a sudden the ones that like to destroy those, they show up by the busload. And we have these people in the laboratory saying, we know better. Look at what happened when we had genetically engineered food. Genetically engineered potatoes fed to rats. The rats died.
Rats aren't smiling then.
You know, so let's stop and think about it, that maybe we should rely on nature and a little less on the laboratory.
Here's a one article that talks about the bird stats that indicate biodiversity crisis. And the headline was, many of the world's most common birds suffered steep population drops over recent decades.
Well, we should be extremely concerned about that. You know, I was raised in Montana, and when I was a kid, we had hundreds of thousands of magpies. They were the most prolific of all of the birds that we had. My kids, also raised in Montana, and that time, they hardly ever saw a magpie. You know, where did they all go? What made them leave? Look at what happened with the bald eagle, using chemicals that were making their eggshells weaker, and they were dying of it. We need to be extremely careful that man is putting some strange things in the environment. Mm-hmm. They're doing some very unintended things. Look at this one. We're losing a lot of bees. You or I cannot survive on planet Earth without bees. If they do not fertilize the crops that are out there, pollinate them, we should be extremely concerned. How high on the people's radar are these things right now? Birds, bees, polar bears, all of those things are like the canary in the mine. They're telling us something. We better wake up and smell the roses before it's too late.
Do you think we should get out of the labs and maybe get a little bit more into the forests and see what's going on out there? Too much money spent inside of a
You know what I think would be the most important thing that you could do for yourself and your children today? Teach them how to garden. We ought to go out there in your backyard, even your front yard, and put in some potatoes and tomatoes and learn how to grow, because those are the things that are going to be important in the future. It's not about some company's stock that is out there with some crazy cockamamie idea that they're going to go out there and change nature. The earth will survive. The question is, will Homo sapiens survive?
Well, that's the exact question which I want to ask you now, is because as the birds go, as the animals go, so will humanity go. But we are speaking with Howard Lyman, author of Mad Cowboy and No More Bull, and he will be speaking tonight at Earth Save's Taste of Health between 6 and 9 p.m. at the Croatian Cultural Center. So you might, if you still want, we're still offering a few tickets for people who phone 604-924-4966. Two tickets. The to go to the Taste of Health is free, but the gala performance is $15, where Howard will be speaking. So if you phone this number now and leave your number, I'll call you back and confirm that you in fact do have two complimentary tickets for each call, 604-924-4966, and you will be at the Croatian Cultural Center this evening with Howard Lyman. Well, our topic now is humanity at risk, and as we're going through a number of newspaper articles, one of them is that was a two-page article in the National Post, 20th of September, and said, are the males going first? Studies on births from the US, Japan, and Canada have found a drop in the percentage of boys born compared to girls. Men in farm country can be half as prolific when it comes to making sperm as their city counterparts. Phthalates that feminizes baby boys causes penises and other reproductive organs to be smaller. Testicular cancer rates are soaring. And we only have about 2 minutes left. Howard, over to you.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. We have seen this coming for a long time. We need to wake up to the facts that are out there. And we have seen in study after study of what is happening right out there with the human physiology. And we need to realize that it is coming from what we're doing in the environment. And those things can be reversed. They can be reversed quickly. But the first thing we need is we need the awareness of the people. My daughter, my youngest daughter, is going to have her first baby, and they live in New York City. Knowing what I know about the environment, there is no doubt, and I can tell you that I'm concerned about her baby. She can do everything correct, but the environment that she lives in, that child may have some terrible deformities. It's about each and every one of us today realizing that we are a citizen of the world. What we do does make a difference. Do not become part of the problem. Become part of the solution.
Thank you, Howard. Howard, we have a great sense of gratitude for leaving so early to be here on Animal Voices. Animal Voices, our webpage is animalvoices.org. This program will be posted on our webpage, animalvoices.org.
You still have a minute or two if you want.
Okay. Well, Howard, I would like to ask you about, there is a healing power. There's a healing power with people recovering from diseases, and I've seen it with people being raw, and you've been raw. But also, there was a wonderful article about the healing power of Stonehenge. There's a mysticism somewhere that's beyond our reach in many ways. And
I've been to Stonehenge, and I actually believe that there is a healing power. If you go over there and you look, there's a hill very close to Stonehenge that was raised by the people at one basket of dirt at a time. This hill is huge. Those people were not paid to do that. Those people did that because they believed in what they were about. They knew that what they were doing was working. It's mind over matter. It's about going out and becoming part of the solution. And we need to wake up right now. It's not too late. We can make phenomenal differences, but we have to start with ourselves. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do. You can stand out in the corner and shout at everybody, and they won't hear it. But when you go out and you walk your talk, when you become part of the solution, all of a sudden people learn a lot more by what you do than what you say. It is not too late. Here we have British Columbia, one of the absolute jewels on the planet. There is no way in the world we should ever let happen to British Columbia what has happened to many of the places around the world where they have deforested it, they've contaminated the rivers. You are living in one of the most pristine places in the world. Keep it that way. Come tonight. Learn about what you can do. Every listener that's out there today can make a significant difference in the future, but you have to start today. You can't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. There are billions of people that have lived on planet Earth that knew their actions made a difference on the planet. What happened in Stonehenge that was in the paper, perfect example. Those people without tools did phenomenal things because they used their mind to do something that was good for them. We can do the same thing right here. It's not too late. You're living in the center of the universe right now. Stand up. Make a difference. Do it now.
Thank you, Howard Lyman. And there will be, of course, Taste of Health is going on for 3 days, starting tonight between 6 and 9. We've spoken about it on this program. And then on Saturday and Sunday, 2 whole days of festivities of plant-based foods and present. It's lots of fun.
That's at the Croatian Cultural Center in Vancouver, right?
That's right.
Do you know where the address is?
Commercial Drive. It's actually 3250 Commercial Drive.
Not too far from Victoria Street.
Okay, 3250 Commercial. Okay, we have to end now.
Howard, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Alan Jensen, for being our technician, and our webpage is...